I'm Franny Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia, and he's done it! There's the reply! Barry and Bahar's history made!
It's James Beattie! Oh, Belter!
Barry for the hat-trick! Unbelievable hat-trick to Sadio Mane! Shane Long takes Southampton to Wembley! Graziano Pella with a left-foot strike! Ward-Prowse lifts it and he's got it in as well! And Danny Ings has done it again!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Milverton, and Ray Hunt. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush, and my co-host Ray Hunt at RayHunt84. Follow the show at Number Podcasts on Twitter, In That Number Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you've got any questions for the show, if you can be bothered, send us an email to InThatNumberPodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Share, subscribe, and give us good vibes. Let's go.
Welcome to another episode of In That Number, episode 119. Kevin, what are we going with?
This week we're calling the episode The Night of the Giving Red.
We've had better, but yes.
Yeah. I'd be lying if I said otherwise.
Yeah. Today we will discuss the well-earned point on Friday night against Leicester. And we will preview the trip to Anfield next Saturday. With me, as always, is the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton. Say hello, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin. Happy Orthodox Easter.
Yeah, not for us, but yeah.
It is here.
Wow, I know. How are you this week?
All right, yeah. I had a traditional Easter breakfast, which involves a lot of fortified wine.
No chocolate eggs.
Tasty goodies. No, you have real eggs that you... bash against each other. Hang on a second. Right. We're bashing eggs. It sounds a lot worse in Russian because eggs is what they call balls here. So there's endless puerile jokes about that. Yeah,
I did know that. Yeah, I think maybe I had this discussion with a lot of
Yeah, but yeah, you know, for the first time I've seen the in-laws this year, which is nice. Things are vaguely getting back to normal. People are getting vaccinated. And just literally... within the last few minutes, met my new neighbours. So it's all kicking off today.
Neighbours.
I think they're called the Robinsons.
Anyway, because we are taking part in the social media boycott, we won't be doing our player and goal of the month for April this week. But we'll put the polls up next week and announce it on episode 120. And hopefully we'll have a better title for you next week. Kevin, ITN News?
Yes.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay then, Kevin, ITN News.
Yeah, I think you want to start by giving me a little bit of talk about the birds and the bees.
Are we still going with the birds and the bees then? We didn't have any complaints.
Ironically.
Yeah, okay. Yes, the bees, they are in action now against Everton at home. It's crunch time for them. A win would move them within a point of West Ham. A loss, yeah, that would be absolutely devastating. The women haven't played yet. The women's team next play against Birmingham City in the FA Cup on Sunday the 16th of May. Best of luck to the ladies. Oh, and then, of course, they've got the Hampshire FA Seniors Cup against them lot up the road on Wednesday the 19th. So that'll be a good one. Some bad news this week on Sam McQueen. Ralph revealed in the week that he will likely never play competitive football again. He last played in 2018 when he was 23. He's battled numerous setbacks with that knee injury, the ACL tear, the infection, just horrible news for him as well. For someone who's still only 26 and has gone through hell with that knee already, it's, yeah, just desperately unlucky. And I really, really feel for him. And Ralph was quoted as saying it will be a miracle if he does come back. That's tragic, isn't it?
It is terrible. I mean, yeah, he's going to be out of contract, isn't he, at the end of the season. And I was kind of, you know, hoping that we might see something from him before the end of the season to reason to keep him there. But yeah, that is really sad if he's not going to be able to play again. I hope they do keep him around, at least for treatment, after his contract's up.
Sure. And
maybe, you know, see him into the coaching setup or something similar.
Absolutely. And once again, horrible news. Fixtures, Kevin. Our home game with Crystal Palace has now been confirmed for Tuesday, the 11th of May at 8 p.m. Another late one for you. And Fulham at home is Saturday, the 15th of May at 3 p.m. So both are on Sky Sports. So busy week that week. Kevin, there's some good news on Romelu.
Yeah.
Yep. He's returned to training despite Ralph saying that his season was definitely over. There's a possibility that he could play before the end of the season, but I don't know. Let's hope he gets some minutes in, because it is a surprising one, that. But that's good. That's good news.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've seen him back in training. There are rumours that Ings is back in training as well, but I don't know if that's true.
I haven't heard this. I have not. I've heard that he's training, but not with the team. Letizier, Kev, has been shortlisted for the Premier League Hall of Fame. Did you see that?
Yes, and I voted already for him twice. I'm telling.
Good. Henri and Scherer have already in. But, Kev, I fully expect him to be snubbed, just like he was for England all those years. Just not a desirable club. I just don't think he's going to be in it.
Well, I mean, have you voted?
Not yet.
Right, because so you get to choose six players, and I don't think that there's six players from any one team. So, like, let's say you're a United fan and you vote for the four United players, and you've got a choice of, you know, Liverpool and Arsenal players. I think, you know, you might be a second choice for a lot of fans. Who knows?
Hopefully. But then again, it's what's the criteria? Because you can look at it and say, well, you know, Beckham, he's won a lot. Tony Adams, he's won a lot. Thierry Henry's won a lot. Steven Gerrard hasn't actually won anything in the Premier League, but how can you leave him out? And Matt Letizier, not even worthy of an England call-up, apparently.
But, I mean, Beckham spent most of his career outside of the Premier League.
But when he was in the Premier League, he won everything.
Like I said, there's a number of criteria you could say, but, I mean, he's really our only candidate, I think, for one of the greatest Premier League players of all time.
Oh, I don't disagree with you. I just don't think he's ever going to be recognised by anyone other than Saints fans.
So the fact that he's in there, that's already some credit. And I imagine that if for whatever reason he doesn't get in, he'll probably, you know, still be around the next time they start voting people in.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, the fact that he's in the conversation, it's brilliant. It's good.
There is already a Football League Hall of Fame that he's already in, so I think he'll get in at some point.
Oh, yeah, probably some point, but hopefully now it'll be good. Injury update on Ings and Bertrand. Ings isn't as bad as we first feared. I mean, you just said that he was back, you heard that he was back at training. Well, there's lots of games coming up in May, isn't there? So I don't think he's done enough to get in Southgate's squad, but he could still do a good job for us. Bertrand, he's got that calf problem and he isn't training yet, but Ralph insists it's nothing to do with him not signing this deal. I don't know, I'm not so sure about that. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, because with Ings, like we said, we saw him come off, we know he's injured, and he could probably easily disguise that by, you know, keeping out of the picture till the end of the season, and we'd be none the wiser. But with Bertrand, he was just left out of the squad for that Spurs match without any mention of it beforehand.
Yeah, no mention in his presser.
On the bench. No in the presser, yeah. I mean, was he asked questions about it? Because I haven't really heard an answer.
He's just said it's a calf problem. But it's just coincided with the fact that he's not signed this new deal. Now, Kev, I was really, really adamant, and I've been telling everybody that, yeah, Bertrand will sign, because it's not as if he's got any suitors. And the interview that he had with Adam Blackmore, that was on Radio Solon, he said that he wants to remain at this club. That's not the issue. It's just like the deal will get done, and he hopes it does. When I heard that interview, I just put the whole issue of Bertrand to bed. I thought, yeah, he's going to sign. It's just a matter of time. But why hasn't he signed? There's got to be something going on.
Fucking hell. I've got a 2 cents to throw in. The B team that we mentioned.
Yep.
Do you want to know what score is?
They're losing, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we're playing Everton at home. Snapchat was sent off in the 34th minute.
Oh, good.
We were already 2-0 down at that point.
Good.
It was 4-0 when I got it up. 3-0 at half time, and now it's 5-0.
Well, they're relegated then, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. I think there was no question of that, really, was there?
This is just getting... just disappointing now, isn't it? It's just to get the season over and done with. I've had enough now.
Yes, two things. I just saw the news that the headline: Gareth Southgate will be able to pick a 26-man England squad at Euro 2020 instead of 23. Just Gareth Southgate, or all of the teams? But yeah, so the squad for the Euros is going to be bigger by 3 people. Could Prowsey squeeze into the England team, or, you know, getting both Shea and Armstrong is going to be a bit more of a no-brainer now that they're going to have more players to choose from?
Yes, to the above, Kev. I think all three of those that you mentioned will be in their squads.
Mm.
I don't expect Vestergaard? Yeah, he'll be in there as well. I don't expect Ward-Prowse to play. But I don't think you can leave him out just because of his set piece play.
But I mean, you can't just say like, "Oh, England have been given a free kick. Okay, we'll bring on Prowsey for this one."
Penalties, you can. He's a penalty taker. He's not a great penalty taker.
He's a shit penalty taker, mate. But yeah, bringing on just for a free kick. I don't remember the last time I saw that.
No, but not just free kicks, mate. It's like corners as well, dead ball situations. He's there. It's a decent weapon to have in your squad.
Sure, no doubt. I'd have him in there, but, you know, we're both biased.
He runs himself into the ground on a weekly basis. Definitely needs to be included. I don't think Danny will make it.
I don't think so.
He's not had the games, has he?
Yeah, injuries, the form as well. He's not the player he was last season. It's a shame that the Euros got moved. But, yeah, because he would have been nailed on for that squad. And, yeah, one other quick one before I move on to something that we discussed in the week. But seeing as Norwich and Watford, they've been promoted, and Bournemouth still in the running. So as it stands, £83 million in parachute payments is going to be recycled back into the Premier League over the next 2 years. That means that Saints will get a chunk of that. I don't know if it'd be equally proportioned or... depending on league position, maybe a bit of both.
League position, I imagine. Which is why it's crucial that we keep, I say keep winning games, that we keep picking up points.
That we start winning games, for example. Yeah, see, a lot of discussion about whether that's fair or not, you know, considering the position that the other league clubs are in, that don't have the luxury of getting TV money in, week out, that rely on gate receipts. That's what you get for being a breakaway league. And lastly, I'm not going to talk about it too much because I don't think we need to take it seriously, but Duncan Castles on the Transfer Window podcast said the following. My understanding is that Gerard Lopez, who was the owner of Lille until recently and previously the owner of the Lotus Formula One team, has made an examination of books, looked at the quality of the player, players of the club, and has made an offer to be worth just over half of the $250 million that Gao has been asking. This is a 49-year-old Spanish Luxembourgish businessman, Gerard Lopez, who borrowed almost £200 million from JP Morgan and Elliott Management over 3 years and left Lille owing just over £100 million. Yes, they've been playing the Champions League, and last time I looked, they were top of Ligue 1. But, yeah, at what price? I don't think that's an improvement on the current ownership that we've got, and I don't think that Gao's not going to tell him to fuck off with that sort of pricing, so yep. I don't think we're going to hear anything from this.
No, I agree. I didn't want to talk about anything to do with the takeover, because it's just, we hear it all the time, don't we? And it's, I won't want to comment on it.
Yeah, I mean, if we, you know, if we like a transfer rumor, we can enjoy a take-up rumor. But I just thought that
definitely, yes, yeah.
Just an insulting one, to be honest. That's not happening.
Right. Okay. Leicester, Kevin.
Yes.
This is Klaus Lundekvam, and you are listening to In That Number.
Okay. A point, a very valuable point, with 10 men for 80 minutes. Very pleasing, defensively anyway. Changes had to be made to combat the lack of Bertrand and Ings. Stevens and Minamino came in. Redmond comes in for Ings. Stevens moves to left back. Armstrong was shifted into that Diallo role, which wasn't a bad thing. Friday night, Kev. Season's not going like we hoped. We're playing against Leicester. We go down to 10 men inside 10 minutes. All very familiar. And I had that sinking feeling once again.
Yes. You think that... I mean, it's disappointing because we started really well. We were clearly the better team. A couple of great chances early on. Cole Walker-Peters finding the back of the net. I mean, albeit he was about a fortnight offside. And just before Yannick gets sent off, Teller misses an absolute sitter. I think it was quite telling, no pun intended there, but I'll take it, that he was the one taken off for Yannick Vestergaard when he was showing the red. It's a ridiculous decision. I think the rest of the podcast is just going to be various ways of saying just that. It was sloppy control of the let Vardy run in on the ball. Vardy never had the ball. Yannick Vestergaard gets it. The follow through, yes, it was a little bit sloppy. He does stretch his leg a little bit more just after clearing the ball. But I mean, I don't think his intention was to catch him. He does. Vardy goes down. Dangerous, I mean, possibly, but you know, at the point that he's going for the ball and winning it, I don't think that you can really reprimand him for that. So Vestergaard fluffs, controlling the ball, gets the ball, clears it. Macca was there to collect it. Where is this goal scoring opportunity that he's apparently prevented and being sent off for preventing?
Yes. Yes, I agree. I mean, well, firstly, it was a mistake from Vestergaard. It was a slip, wasn't it? So,
yeah.
Which is, of course, the reason why Ralph doesn't look at him when he's marching off. Secondly, you're right. He got the ball. Why is that a red card then? I don't know. The only thing I can think of is if the ref didn't see it properly from his angle. It was at a funny angle. But this is what VAR is for. This is a major decision. It's, you know, something... this major and this early warrants another look, doesn't it? Now, whether the ref has had time to rethink it or VAR has said, hang on a sec, he's made a good tackle there. Neither of them happened. It hasn't happened, to my knowledge. I mean, I don't understand what is the case. I mean, you've just said that he's been sent off because he's denied a goal-scoring opportunity. Like you said, Vardy had no control of the ball. He's gone through and followed through. What else is he supposed to do? Not just him. What else is anybody supposed to do when they make a tackle? You are going to follow through. We've had this discussion so many times before. You cannot stop. If you've taken that ball, fine. Vardy makes a meal of it and he's cheating. He was down. They were holding. The doctor, come on. He's holding his hand. I honestly thought he'd done some damage. I thought, Christ, that's Vardy. He's going to be out of the Euros.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 minutes later, he's up again and he's running like his usual self. That hasn't helped the decision. Now, if Vardy had got up straight away, do you think it would have been a red card? I don't think it would
have. I don't know. I mean, I can't quite remember when the referee makes the decision. But
it wasn't instant because Yannick's walked off like he's made a good tackle, and he did. And then the referee's blown the whistle and then stuck out his... And you could see Yannick's just kind of like put his arms out like, what? But why didn't they look at that? Do we not deserve that?
I mean, is it that difficult?
No.
Yeah, the technology is there. I mean, they should make it a mandate that before the referee makes a decision on giving a penalty or not, or giving a red card. If he wants to give a red card or give a penalty, take a look and at least make absolutely certain that you're making the right decision. And then referees won't, you know, feel the need to save face and stick to their decision if they're making the right decision.
Thing is, I don't even blame the referee for this, because he's gone on what he saw and he's going to make mistakes from what you've seen.
But he has the opportunity to go to the pitch side monitor and yet chooses not to do so.
But then isn't that the VAR's decision to say you need to look at this again?
Well, if the referee doesn't have the power to say, hello, whatever Bellin's sending in Stockley Park, who was it this time? John Moss.
Jonathan Moss, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, all right, Johnny. Yeah, give us a replay of that.
I agree. They both should have done it. There should be communication. You said about the mandate being you should have to do that. I know you're not going to like this, but back in the NFL, every single scoring play is reviewed because they want to make sure they're getting the right decision. It doesn't take long at all. Something happens, you just go and look at it. It should be happening for a major decision like that. I mean, I can understand if something's offside or if it's just a free kick that's breaking up play or whatever. But for a decision like that, for a free kick that close to the box and a red card inside of 10 minutes, it needs to be looked at again. And it's unacceptable because VAR is not working the way it should be and the way that they said it was supposed to. I've got no information on why they haven't said it wasn't, but we are going to appeal it. But it certainly didn't fucking help us on the night, did it?
No. And then we could have easily won that game.
Could have done, because you said it. We started well. I mean, I felt sorry for Teller at that point because he was sacrificed for Cilicic to come on. Yeah, and he had that chance and he like miscued it, as you said, scuffed it along the ground. From there, you know, we dug in, which was massively, massively important, going down to 10 men. Cilicic was fantastic. Stevens played great out of position. Kyle Walker-Peters, another good showing. Prowse and Armstrong working hard. Adams and Minamino too, although it was difficult for them to get involved because, you know, you're down to 10 men. The attacking part of the game kind of goes out the window. But, I mean, they all put a shift in and, you know, they did it without anything, you know, anything major to report on.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't exciting. It wasn't pretty. It was nerve-wracking. But we did get a job done.
Sounds a bit like you in the bedroom.
Oh, what? Hey! how would you know that, by the way? just putting that out there.
I don't know. I'm tired. Leave me alone.
Surprised you remember. I mean, I put enough Rehypno in your drink.
Amazingly, Kevin, amazingly, we took the lead through a penalty. James Ward-Prowse actually scored one. Decision, handball, fair?
Yeah.
Good. Let's move on. No, yeah. I mean,
it comes off his face and onto his hand, but I mean, yeah, they're up in the air, unnatural position, all that bollocks. Yeah, we're taking that one.
Created your own bad luck there.
Yeah. But I mean, even though the penalty was given, that's only half the luck, isn't it?
Yeah, because I mean, I don't know what stream you were watching, but Sky Sports put the graphic up that he's taken five penalties and missed three of them, mm-hmm. And it's just there that you think, shit, do I want to watch? Do I have to watch?
Yes, yeah. I mean, yeah, you had one off the bar, one saved, and I don't know about the other one. I don't know. So yeah, he's whenever commentators say that, oh yeah, he's brilliant set piece taker, you know, good at penalties, amazing free kicks, look at those corners. I think, really? Have you seen him take the penalties? But yeah, I was watching Sky Sports, and oh, fucking hell. I mean, who was it? Martin Tyler and Alan Smith?
Alan Smith, yeah.
What a couple of wankers, seriously. I mean, how many times can you mention 9-0 in this fixture? I think they were, you know, trying to break a record. Or, I mean, did Betfred have odds on that? How many times they're going to say 9-0?
Well, Alan Smith did used to play for Leicester, so I think he was just trying to get a few digs in there while he could.
Yeah, but I mean, Martin Tyler, I mean, I think Adams was played on there, and he mentioned something about
a proper Scot. You know,
starting, yeah, proper Scot. Armstrong's a proper Scot, and Shay Adams isn't a proper Scot. I mean, you can argue about what he really meant by that, But I mean, if you can insinuate that because he's black, he's not a proper Scotsman.
I don't think that was it, Kevin.
But I mean, he doesn't give any context, does he? I mean, on a weekend where there's a social media boycott.
No, I just think he meant because he was born in England.
Well, okay, but you know.
That's the way I took it anyway.
A lot of players are born in one country and play for another. A lot of players will switch allegiance. you know, you can play your little commentator card and say, yeah, just recently made his start for Scotland. But, you know, going into a proper Scotsman and not a proper Scotsman, I mean, fuck off. You know, give the kid a break.
Yeah, I mean, I did think at first, I thought, oh, that's a bit...
Exactly. I mean,
just think maybe it came out a little bit wrong. And I think maybe he regretted it as soon as he said it.
Well, I fucking hope he does. I hope people complain about it, because it's not just that. I mean, I'm not going to blow it out of proportion and brand him a racist. But if by saying something like that, you can justify people whose intentions are to be racist, people who are racist, you're giving them fuel and legitimizing that kind of attitude.
Yeah, I mean, I like you, was a little bit like, hello. But I mean, as soon as he said it, I was like, he couldn't have meant anything else other than the fact that he just, you know, he wasn't born in Scotland, whereas Stuart Armstrong was. That's how I took it, and I moved on from it. Yeah, he shouldn't have said it, bottom line.
Not at all. You know, you can just imagine a Scotsman there going like, ah, yeah, go back to where you came from. I mean, what does that Scotsman mean by that? You know, does he mean go back to England?
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. Yes, anyway, moving on. It didn't last long, did it, the lead? You sensed it was coming because I think Maddison was having shots on sight, wasn't he? And it wasn't working. Evans was getting into those positions, and Perez had a shot, which Macca made a brilliant save from. And then the goal did come. Johnny Evans, it was coming. Blame attached to Bednarik for this?
Yes.
Yeah, there was two of them on him, and he just sort of like lost his man, didn't he? What is it you said on our chat?
I don't know. What did I say?
You said massively exposed like Neil Shipperley.
Oh, yes. most of exposed Saints have been since Neil Shipperley. But, yeah, I mean, it was silly. I mean, it was an incredible goal from Leicester. It was impressive. You know, I thought that they were going to get the goal. It was more of question of when rather than if, but it's painful, isn't it? I mean, yeah. Bednarik hasn't been brilliant this year at all, but he still plays week in, week out.
Yeah, I'm disappointed with him this season. He's been the biggest letdown, if I'm honest. Second half, apart from the whole team itself, but yeah, he's just I don't know. He's lost something, and I'm not filled with confidence anymore. Well, I mean, I know why it is, because you can see it. You can see it for yourselves. But I mean, it would have been easy, Kev, to drop the heads from that point. But, you know, I'm going to use all the cliches here. A gritty team effort to deny them.
Yeah.
It could have done with that in the second half against Spurs with 11 men.
Could have done. But I think, maybe, just maybe, seeing that playbook reopened of an early sending off has pushed them, rather than to collapse. They're going, okay, maybe they do know what they have to do and dig in, keep it tight, stay compact like they did. And, you know, going to half time, 0-0, still got a chance, still in this, so keep going. And they did. They learned. I mean, Ralph, fair play to him, maybe made an early substitution to change formation. I mean, okay, yeah, with one less player, he was kind of forced into it. But it worked. Having Armstrong and Ward-Prowse as the two in the middle of the field there, you've got to kind of worry that, you know, can they track back and defend? Because we're missing a Romelu or player of his like who can...
A defensive guy that can go box to box.
Yeah, because neither Armstrong or Ward-Prowse are that kind of player.
No, but I feel comfortable with Armstrong playing there.
Yeah, but because...
More than I thought I would. Back.
Yeah. I think because they were forced into those, you know, just everyone sitting back and playing in their own half, Everyone was essentially playing defensively, so it kind of worked out.
I suppose it did, yeah. And then it definitely affected Minamino's performance. But, I mean, we hung on. Leicester chasing Champions League. You know, they've beaten us on two previous occasions this season, most recently in the Cup, of course. This is a strong Leicester side. And yet, you know, with 10 men, it felt like a win for us. And you only need to watch Ralph's reaction at the whistle. But massive, massive point, Kevin. And it can't be underestimated what we've done out there on Friday night.
No, I don't think anyone would have expected that, especially after the sending off. So, yeah, it was impressive. Disappointing that we had to concede that, the equaliser. But at the same time, you know, hold on for, 25 minutes and keep that lead, despite Leicester really giving everything. There were a lot of chances that I think we were a bit lucky on a few of them. Vardy had a great chance that he put straight at McCarthy, and you know he put a foot out to get rid of it. But yeah, time after time, they came up against the defence, and yeah, I was still worried, still nervous, right, going right to the final whistle, because I'm sure we were all imagining that there'd be a last-second goal and we'd come away with nothing. But, yes, it's a big point.
Finally done with Leicester for a while now. Nothing against them, but I'm just sick of them. Ralph's going to book him pre-season now, you watch. Now,
like that, and United.
Yeah. Kevin, are we going to build on this from next week, you know, because Liverpool have to make that Champions League. They have to, don't they? It's crucial. Chelsea winning yesterday, so it's not looking great. If they beat United today, then, you know, City are crowned champions, blah, blah, blah. I think they're, you know, currently 7 points off of fourth place with that United game in hand. So they have something to play for still. But this could be critical to how they set up against us.
Yes. It's all going to depend what happens later tonight.
They are still going to be going for that Champions League spot after tonight, so you feel like they're going to be up for this. I mean, how are you feeling about this this match next week?
Yeah, trip to Anfield, never not a daunting prospect. Yeah, Liverpool this year have been about as shit by their standards as we have by ours. Although, yeah, more recent games seem to have been picking up a bit.
Hopefully not today.
Well, yeah, it'd be great if United spank them and take the wind out of their sails, and then we can kick them while they're down. I mean, without Van Dijk, they seem to just be quite poor defensively. I think that's, it's a bit of a poor excuse that, you know, they've got one, you lose one player, you lose the entire team. But only picked up a draw with Leeds and Newcastle. Pretty awful.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. Predictions then, Kevin. I am going to go for a big, big win. I'm going 3-0 Liverpool.
Oh, 3-0. Christ.
Yeah. What about you?
I'm going to go for a draw.
I will take it. What draw? Score draw?
No score draw. It's going to be 0-0. It's going to be dull as fuck.
Yeah?
Yep.
That's what Gemma's gone for.
Right, she always goes 3-0 then.
Yeah, but she's not losing, is she?
She'd go to the football pools, wouldn't she?
Yeah, so you're going for 0-0 Liverpool, yeah?
Yeah.
Gemma's going 0-0. What's Marina going?
Marina's saying 1-1.
Okay, I'll take that too. Another prediction for you, Kev, submitted by Tim. He's done an over and under on how many times Ralph's tears in the reverse fixture will be brought up in this game. He's going 3 as the magic number. And this is just for the match commentary, not pre or post-match analysis.
Well, that sounds about right then, doesn't it? I'm still going to go. It depends if it's Martin Tyler and Ann Smith again, then I'll go. It was just lazy commentary. I'm going to go over.
I'm going over too, and Tim is going for... Well, you can find out in a minute. over to Tim now, and he's going to give us a Liverpool preview.
Dean Hammond here. Thank you for tuning in to In That Number.
Anfield. Just Anfield.
Okay, now I'd like to welcome back Tim. Tim, how has your week been?
I am a Chicago Bears fan, grew up in the Chicago area, and super happy that Justin Fields has done the thing where he got drafted by the Bears. I'm super happy about that. Thanks to us. Thank you to the New York Giants for trading with us. I think it was all in all, it's a fair trade.
I think we're going to win that trade, you know.
Yeah, I think we are going to be fantastic because you guys need a better quarterback than Daniel Jones.
No, I'm happy with Daniel Jones. He's not going to win a Super Bowl, but he's not the problem why we're not going to win. But yeah, I'm happy. Okay, so Tim, something happened on Friday night. We got a point.
Completely unexpected.
Yeah, unbelievable. With 10 men, also, I should say. But yeah, how did you see the game and the red card?
Wow, I was clutching so hard throughout the entire time. I feel like my butt cheeks could crack a walnut by the end of it all. It was crazy. But all in all, I couldn't ask for anything better because you came out with a 1-1 tie. And if you said that you came out with a draw at the end of it with a 1-1, I probably would have been like, yeah, totally fine. I'll take it. But when you factor in that we played with 10 men for 80 minutes, that you got to take that as a win, regardless of if it's actually a draw or not.
Absolutely, yeah, and you can see the relief in Ralph when the full-time whistle blew that he was clenching his fist. So, yeah, it felt like a win to him. But, yeah, the red card, first 10 minutes.
It was.
How did you see it?
Oh, geez. I couldn't – you know, I get it, but I don't agree with it. He took out Vardy after the fact, and they said it was a denial of a goal-scoring opportunity rather than a violent conduct. So it's even if they asked it for it to be repealed, they're not going to give it to him. So it took him out. Vestergaard cleared the ball well far away, and that's where I don't agree with it. But because he was the last man and he took Vardy out, that's probably why they gave it to him.
And Vardy rolling around like his leg has come off, as it probably didn't help matters either. But, you know, go 10 men down, Teller comes off, and that's bad luck for him because, you know, he had a chance to give Saints the lead, but scuffed his shot. So he comes off. Salisu comes on, and we go up for a penalty. Correct decision for you?
Oh yeah, easily. I've said it before. There's two definitives when it comes to a handball. If your hand is above your shoulder and the ball hits it, it's a handball. If the ball hits your hand in line of the shot being taken on goal, it's a handball. Guess what both happened in that case? Yeah. That. Easy, 100%, good call, and we'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're putting your hands out like that, then you're asking for trouble. And yeah, 1-0 up, surprisingly so.
Yeah, completely against the run of play. But when you get a mistake like that, you have to capitalize on it. And Ward-Prowse, for whatever reason, is better from, you know, outside the box or maybe a corner, you know, even a corner kick as an assist man than actually taking it from the spot. I think, you know, he's got one type of ball that he hits in, and it's with power and a little bit of curve. So with a set piece taker, I guess they can say, you know, if the goalie just picks the right way, there's a decent chance for him to be saved.
Yeah. But our lead lasted, 7-8 minutes. Johnny Evans, 1-1, probably what Leicester deserved, but it was disappointing because, you know, we were defending so well even before we went 1-0 up. You know, Leicester probably had the run of the play. Madison was shooting on sight, it seemed. But you knew that we weren't going to be able to hang in there for the whole game. Then you went go up, and then, you know, so, what's that to say, 7 minutes, 1-1. Just from that moment, you just think, okay, well, all our hard work's going to be undone.
Absolutely. And when the red card happened and you thought, oh, what's going to happen? You know, the worst is going to be happening at that point. Deja vu is coming through. All in all, by getting a goal, that is just a win within itself. And if you said, oh, we would have lost 3-1 after that, I would have been like, oh, we scored? Great. Yeah, we'll take it. Run away. And, you know, bad luck on our end always. Typical Saints crashing out and getting an early red card and bad things happening. But Bednarik got beat by Evans behind. He slid right through. Good veteran level play. And I mean, they've just been getting, outside of that, they were locked down. Solisu came in, solidified that left center back role. Stevens did a good job holding off the attack from Castagne and bombing down the right side. I mean, it's to be expected. And yeah, McCarthy stood on his head definitely throughout the entire game. And they had tons and tons of shots going throughout it. So, yeah, it's to be expected.
Fantastic point. Fantastic point. Considering the start of the game, you thought, you know, it's Leicester, it's a Friday night. Here we go again. 10 minutes into the game, you get a red card. But, you know, if someone would have said to me right at that point, relax, you know, you're going to get a point out of this, I would have definitely taken it. Defended really well. And, Tim, the good thing about this is, right, like the last couple of weeks when I've asked you for a man of the match, it's been just picking the best of a bad bunch. But with this one, there were so many decent, you know, standout defensive performances. McCarthy, as you mentioned, Kyle Walker-Peters was fantastic. Had a great header from across that, you know, Vardy was right behind him. It probably would have scored if he hadn't been there. Solisu, you know, in under the circumstances coming in with 10 men, played excellent. Stevens out of position, played excellent. Who's your man of the match?
Yeah, crazy to think about that. The defense here is going to be the best of the group here. You can't take an offensive player once you go down 10 men. They just can't. There's just not a whole lot they can do going forward. So it's not a lot that they just really can. So you can't really consider them, especially Tella going out in the 11th or 12th there to be sacrificed for an extra center back. It sucks for him, but it was the right play because look at the end result. They finally. They have the experience of going down to 10 men early on, and the last two times it's happened, they've gotten pummeled 9-0. So seeing that, it's obviously a massive win that they're able to take from it. I can't give it to Bednarik because he had that fault against with Evans, but outside of that, he played decent as well. I'm going to go with Solisu, though. He came in a situation he wasn't expecting. He came into his position, though, that probably is his best role. Vestergaard has some qualities and traits that are definitely beyond the capabilities that Solisu have, so that's why he's been playing there. He's been there on merit. But going through it all, get thrown into the mix, it's Leicester, it's a Champions League level team. Congrats to him, and that's what I'm going with. But you can go with pretty much anybody in the back line except for Bednarik and even McCarthy.
Yep, absolutely. But yes, a great, great point. Moves us 10 points ahead of Fulham now. Almost there. But a big, big game next week. They just keep coming. Liverpool away Saturday, the 8th of May. That's an 8:15 kickoff, and that is live on Sky Sports. Tim, Liverpool, how are you feeling?
One quick point, though, is at 37 points, 18 of the last 25 years in the Premier League, 37 points is good enough. So that's why that magic number is always 40. And, you know, we can get there. We can definitely get there. So,
but is it going to come against Liverpool?
So Liverpool currently sixth in the league right now. So they're currently in Europa League spots. But the biggest point is that they can easily reach that fourth spot. By easily, it's still going to be a challenge to go up against Chelsea, who's currently sitting at 58 at the same level, same number of matches played. So they have 4 points that they need to cover. So Chelsea need to drop, and hopefully they feel like they could be Chelsea could be exposed and be focused on the current Champions League season rather than the actual league season. So they are currently sixth. They're going to be fighting for it. They don't want to sit back. They're going to try and go up on goal difference and try to beat us and take us to. Yeah, just take us and go from there. Currently, right now, like I said, 54 points. Last five, they've taken 11 of their last 15 points, so two draws, three wins. Their home form is really good. Last meeting, it's the Ralph tears on the pitch game. So over under three times mentioned it during the broadcast during the 90 minutes that Ralph cried after I won.
I'm umming and ahhing about it. I want to say over, But yeah, I'll go over because I know what you're going to go with.
Yeah, I'm going with three. That's why that's my thought. It's okay. Three.
I'm going to go over.
Yeah, Salah's their top scorer, so he's been slotting at home, doing a great job. And they're going to set up in their traditional 4-3-3 format. So you're looking at Alisson at the back, their back line of Robertson, Kabak, Nathaniel Phillips, and Alexander Arnold. You're looking for that midfield three. That's kind of the biggest what if, where are they going to go, because they have a slew of options, as we know. I still think they're going to go with Thiago and Fabinho back there. Even though they're more of a sixes, eights, I think they're going to solidify and just dominate anything that any of those through balls that we try to push through. But I think they could probably focus and have a little bit more of offensive taste. So we've seen Shaqiri play at that roaming 10 role, but he's better on the wing. So I'm expecting Curtis Jones to come in and start. So I think it'll be Jones, Thiago, and Fabinho for their midfield and their front three. So we're looking at Salah, Mane, and I'm going with Diego Jota. I think Roberto Firmino is going to be on the bench. I think that Jota has more and is the future of the team rather than I think Firmino is going to be more of a rotation option going forward, even into next year.
Wow. Hot take. Okay. Prediction then, Tim.
Going with 2-1. I think we'll still be able to take one from them, either some type of accidental slip by Nathaniel Phillips or Kabak. Or just some type of good clinical finish by one of us. But all in all, they'll dominate 65-35 possession, hold us to it, and probably have a ton of chances that they missed out on. But it'll be more of a dominating game than it'll appear than the scoreline will show. So 2-1.
Excellent. I kind of jumped the gun there. I didn't even ask you how you think we're going to line up because of, you know, the red card with Vestergaard, how's that going to affect the team?
So Solisi's going to slot back into the left center back role. So look for McCarthy and the starting back four of Stevens is going to slide back into left back. He's going to be less of a bombing mentality going forward. So you're going to see him slot in more of kind of a three back in with Walker Peters, anything with him trying to push forward down the left side, but Robertson is hard push past. So looking at that, you've got Salisu, left center back, Bednarek, and Walker Peters. In our 6-8-6s position, Armstrong is going to continue there. I've been impressed with him. He can play anywhere in the midfield, and it's fantastic. I'm really happy with that. Ward-Prowse, obviously, as well. We're going to see Tella play. He didn't get his chance this game, and they're going to want to give it to him because Minamino can't play, just because he can't play against his parent club. Sure. So let's look for Walcott on the other side alongside Redmond and Adams up top. Che McAdams.
Yes, Tim, thank you very much. Yeah, next week, back to normal for the Liverpool game.
Absolutely.
Cool, and I will speak to you soon.
Speak to you soon.
Cheers, mate.
Hi, I'm Matt Letitia, and thank you for listening to In That Number.
Extra time then, Kevin. We're going to start with predictions. No change, I'm afraid, as we all took Leicester wins. So that's me on 45, you on 45, and Tim bringing up the rear on 31. And the wife was Leicester the same also because everyone went for a Leicester win. So it's Gemma and Abby on 30 and Marina on 25. Super 6. Round 53 was won by Jonta Keane with 12 points. And the overall is Tom Hennigan on 427. Fantasy football, Kevin.
I was quite disappointed because I was convinced that the Saints game that we played on Friday was part of the previous game week rather than this one. But captaining Ian Acho proved to be a good move all the same. Leaving Aaron Wan-Bissaka on the bench proved to be a silly decision. There's a double game week coming up, so just put that out there. You're still ahead of me, of course. Looking at your team, I think we fared up just about the same last week, didn't we?
I didn't look, to be honest.
Aaron Chilwell picked you up 12 points.
Good man.
Fernandez was your vice. taken over from Son, who wasn't playing.
No, he wasn't. But he is playing this week against Sheffield United, and he's my captain, so I'm still hoping for big points. Tottenham at home to Sheffield United. Son as captain. That's a hat-trick.
Mm.
Calvert-Lewin and Watkins scoring me big points this week.
I've got Kane as captain. I've got high hopes for him.
Good one. But stupidly, I put James Ward-Prowse on the bench because I thought Saints aren't getting anything against Leicester. And then he fucking scores, doesn't he? So, perfect. He scored more points than my entire midfield.
Blimey. But
having said that, three of them are still to play. No, all four of them are still to play.
I have seven players yet to play this game week. So it's not really worth talking about.
I got five, but yeah, I see what you mean. But anyway, leaders?
I'm going to continue. Yeah, so Mitrovic from Matt Markstone, still top of the league in terms of podcasters.
He's not a podcaster anymore. Let's kick him out.
Yeah, well, he's been a podcaster this season. he's cup-tied. He's cup-tied. You're not that far behind Freddie in third place. You know, only 40 points off, and he's there for the taking. Lucy's still top of our league. Bobby Brown and Dan Buck, they round us off. Manager of the month for April was guess who?
Was it Lucy Hynett?
Yeah, I remember the name. Yeah, it's Lucy Hynett. And second is Bobby Brown. But yeah, Alex Haas is Haas and Hootle is 1 point off of him in third place.
So go on, Alex.
Get in there.
That's good. Russian phrase, Kevin?
Red card would be Krasnaya Kartochka.
Krasnaya Kartochka.
Krasnaya Kartochka.
Krasnaya Kartochka.
Yeah, that's all right. That's a red card.
That's it.
That's it.
Splendid. Superb. We shall be back next week to report on the Liverpool game. And now we have to preview both Crystal Palace and Fulham because we have two games that week. So, yes, until then, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up at Southampton.